Vince, it's great to have you back with us as we get ready for Giants baseball. A pleasure hearing from Marty Gitlin, who did a wonderful book with Sam McDowell, The Saga of Sudden Sam, The Rise, Fall, and Redemption of Sam McDowell. And now we're lucky enough to have the subject of the book, Sam McDowell, with us. Sam, it's great to have you with us today. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. It's good to be with you guys.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here, and the story is absolutely amazing, and I want the fans to understand there are certain aspects, the way the book was structured, and it's the rise, fall, and redemption of Sam McDowell. So fans should understand you as a young man in Pittsburgh, Central Catholic High School, and you were just an unbelievable pitcher as a kid. Tell us about that part of life for you.
Well, during my high school days, I was very fortunate in that both in high school and amateur baseball throughout those 4 years, I threw, I believe it was a little over 30 no-hitters. And, of course, Marty has the statistics, which I don't, but it was around that amount. Well, I was very fortunate in having a parent, specifically my father, who was a pretty good athlete himself. In fact, he was the quarterback with the University of Pittsburgh when they went to the Rose Bowl, the first Rose Bowl back in the 30s. But in any event, he was the one that taught me everything about pitching and kind of made me toe the rope, you might say, until I got it down, but eventually learned how to get it down.
Boy, Sam McDowell with us. Of course, the Pirates are in town as well. You actually pitched at Forbes Field. How about that as a kid?
Yes, I did. I pitched there when I was 14 and 15 years old. I threw batting practice for the Pirates back in those days. And that was one of their deals where they try and entice the amateur ball players that are fairly good in the city to sign with the Pirates, both because they wanted the talent and to save money.
Boy, Sam McDowell with us, a fabulous high school career, as he just described to us, over 40 no-hitters. He pitched batting practice for the Pirates at Forbes Field as a 14-year-old. So now here you're at a high school, and in those days there was no draft, but you had every team just about in baseball chasing you. And it's an interesting way that you announced who you were going to sign with. Tell us that story.
Well, I was minding my own business, you might say, at home. And we were getting down to the nitty-gritty where all 16 teams were bidding on having me play for them. And then my parents let me make the final decision, even though I was only 17 years old. And when I did finally make my decision, my parents got a call from, I think it was CBS, and that they wanted me to announce it on national television by way of a show that they had on. It was called To Tell the Truth. And back then they had three movie stars or entertainers that would try and pick from three unknowns who it was that they were describing. And I was one of the, you might say, guests or contestants on there, who their job was to ask questions and then eventually tell who was Sam McDowell, who had just signed a professional contract with the Cleveland Indians.
And did anybody guess you?
Yes, one of the young ladies. In fact, I'm not quite certain who it was. Marty would be able to give you those facts. That one person did pick me. And in fact, when asked the question, well, what made you pick him? And he said that he didn't know, that it was just a guess.
Well, it's the beginning of what is going to be a very, very storied professional career, and part of the book, and this is the rise of Sam McDowell. Of course, you so fans understand the background of this story. You're a six-time All-Star, eventually with the Cleveland Indians. You lead the American League in strikeouts five times. You're 141 and 134 in a major league career. 3.17 earned run average. 2,453 strikeouts, more than a strikeout an inning. You're second in the Cleveland pitching hierarchy to Bob Feller in strikeouts. And you have an amazing career statistically, but so much was going on with you as a man growing up, as a young man growing up in baseball, and that led to the fall of Sam McDowell. So drinking was a big part, and you've described yourself as the worst drunk in baseball. How did all this happen to this young man? What happened?
Well, basically, not to get too scientific, but as you probably know from reading these days, addiction is a genetic disease. And I had it throughout my family. My parents have had uncles, cousins, nephews. But to make a long story short, part of that process is what's called an obsessive-compulsive personality, which I had from the day I was born. And I was a little different in that I wanted to be different no matter what. And that led me to things like I never missed a day of school in my life because everybody else was skipping school. To me, this was my way of being different. Also in high school, after different games, football, basketball, baseball, all the different sports that I had played, the guys would hide behind the stands and somebody would bring a six-pack or more, and everybody was drinking, and I refused. I never had a drink until my third year in Major League Baseball. But once I had that drink, I was off and running. To give you an example, Barry Lapman and Gary Bell, well, let me back it up. Back in my day, you didn't gain any respect or even be accepted until you earned your way on the team. And back in those days, I wasn't pitching very well because I was always having managers call my pitches, tell me what to do, when to do, and how to do it. And it wasn't working out too well. But, and also, you started out in the bullpen. Everybody, no matter how good you were in the minor leagues, you started out in the bullpen. Well, it just so happened that we were in Chicago on this particular day. I had pitched a pretty good game. I came in relief. And so after the game was over with, Barry Lapman and Gary Bell asked me if I wanted to go to dinner with them. I was thrilled. And so they took me to Jim Diamond's back then, which was one of the world's most famous steakhouses in Chicago. And so I went to dinner with them, and whatever they ordered to drink, I drank. Because I just wanted to be one of them. The major difference was that when dinner was all over with, the two of them went back to the hotel. I didn't. I stopped off at every one of the bars on Michigan Avenue there on the way back to the Hilton Hotel. And by the time I got to my hotel room, I was stoned. And that was the first time I ever drank.
That's 1963. And Sam McDowell with us, of course, the subject of the Saga of Sudden Sam, the book that Marty Gitlin and Sam wrote together, which we talked about earlier in the show today. So it's the mid-60s, but you're having this fabulous career, the six-time All-Star. Reggie Jackson says you're the best pitcher he's ever seen. I've talked to Ray Fosse about you, the late Ray Fosse, and he told me how spectacular your stuff was. But it didn't help. You still were struggling with the alcoholism, and even more so. And in those days, the ball club would bail you out if you were in trouble.
Oh, yeah, over and over. Even the newspaper men then would, totally different than today, they would bail you out, and they would hide every time I got arrested or every time I got into a bar fight or got drunk or whatever it was. They would bail you out, which back in the day didn't help. In fact, it actually hurt, but at that time they didn't know that. They thought they were doing you a favor. And that's the way it was. I was a functional drunk because I could semi-control my drunkenness to the extent that being a starting pitcher, when I would pitch every fourth day, the day that I pitched and the very next day, that night after the game, I would go out drinking, get drunk. But then the next 2 days and nights, I would be a health nut, taking vitamins and minerals and working my ass off, thinking that because I wasn't drinking and sweating everything out from the previous 2 days, that I was fine for my next start the next day. And that's the way it was for 12 of the 15 years in the major leagues.
Wow. Sam McDowell with us. Well, after a contractual dispute, really, with the Indians, and it's in the book, it's described in the book in detail, you're traded, and we, of course, here in the Bay Area, remember it so well, you're traded to the Giants for Gaylord Perry and Frank Duffy, a very famous trade that we all talk about still. But you were not in good shape coming to San Francisco, and it got worse when you got into San Francisco.
Well, two things occurred there, as is in the book. On the one hand, I had hurt my shoulder in the middle of the year, the previous year. Cleveland knew about it because I kept missing starting games because I tore the rotator cuff in my shoulder. And back in those days, you couldn't help it. Or fix it. That was the end of your career, you might say. And I surely didn't want to end my baseball career. And so they had traded me to the Giants. And there's a law in baseball that you could not trade an injured player without the opposing team knowing about it. And Gabe Paul at the time never told the Giants that I tore up my shoulder. And so you had a compounding factor. You had a pitcher coming over that had a torn rotator cuff. That was very difficult. If I could rest it, I could pitch 5-6 innings, but not complete all the games like I used to. And on top of it, I'm an alcoholic. And so I'm getting drunk all the time, too, and not being able to go out there on that field. Because I was a starter with the Giants, I also went through the same ritual, you know, the two nights that I was pitching and what have you drinking, and the next two nights not taking or imbibing on anything. But it sure as hell didn't have my torn rotator cuff. And if I could get some extra days rest, like periodically because of the injury, Charlie Fox, the manager then, would give me that extra day or two, and I'd be able to start the game. But I couldn't. The fifth or sixth inning, I just couldn't take the pain anymore.
And that's the end of the Giants' career, and you move on to a couple of other teams. And then, you know, this addiction, the depression, the drinking just continued until 1980. And you hit rock bottom, and now this is the redemption of Sam McDowell, and I think maybe the best part of the story. So many good things happened to you after 1980, after really domestic issues, but then life changed for you, and this is the crux of why this is an amazing story.
Well, basically, throughout my baseball career, because I did make enough money, I would go to school in the wintertime because University of Pittsburgh and Duquesne University, where I live, they both had a start thing called tri-semester, and I was able to finish up the baseball season, because with Cleveland, we were never going to be in the playoffs, so I would sign up for different coursework, because I thought for certain something was wrong. I never in my wildest dreams believed it would have been alcoholism. I thought it was either mental or something. And so I would do take different courses in psychology and so on. And I was very fortunate that my former pastor, my parish priest, became the director of psychology at Duquesne University. And so I not only was able to go see him quite often as a psychologist, but also he would help me get into different rooms where they had openings, whether it be for Psych 1, Psych 2, Abnormal Psych, Industrial Psych, and so on. Because I knew it had to be psychological, I thought. Then there was a new thing starting to arise, and it was called sports psychology. So I started taking courses wherever I could, and most of it was correspondence courses in sports psychology, either from San Diego or Kansas City or, of all places, Harvard Medical School. And I figured that was the problems. But then when I went through my own recovery, I was fortunate that I befriended a psychiatrist who was also an ordained rabbi, who ultimately became the greatest friend I ever had. And after I'd gone through my own recovery, I was working in the insurance field selling insurance. And I would help out with amateur baseball teams and so on. And the kids all knew about my problems. And so the kids that were having difficulty and problems, they would come to me and thinking I could help them. And I kept taking them to Dr. Tversky. And eventually he said, Sam, they're coming to you for help, not to him. And he said, you need to learn how to help them. So he would then direct me to different courses, send me over to the Pitt Library for certain books, and he'd study them with me or explain them to me. He had me enroll in different courses throughout the country. Harvard Medical School had a continuing education program through correspondence. I took those courses and so on. And lo and behold, a new thing also started called employee assistance programming. And so I took those courses and wound up becoming the first EAP in the history of professional sports. And lo and behold, I never thought I'd be back in Major League Baseball because of the bridges that I had burned. But I got a call from Bowie Kuhn one time asking me to design a program for baseball, which I did, but he thought too involved and it involved alcohol, and he wasn't interested in addressing that issue yet. It was strictly a drug problem, so we parted ways, and I said, fine, that's it. But then the Texas Rangers, President Mike Stone at the time, he saw my program I designed. He wanted it, so he had hired me to come back into baseball and to do the EAP and sports psychology program for the Texas Rangers. And he started to become so popular that other teams started asking for it. And it wasn't the ownership, it was the players that were talking among themselves about the program, the sports psychology program, and the drug and alcohol prevention program. And so for a long time, for 18 years, that's what I did in baseball until a couple emergency phone calls came where there were different players that were in the middle of committing suicide. And baseball at the time didn't have anybody that was trained or licensed, and I was. And so I was working for Texas, but I got an emergency call from Joe Garagiola, senior, who was the head of a program they were trying to start to help former players that were having a difficult time. And he told me about this player that was in the middle of committing suicide and asked if I could help. I told him I would if he got the phone number. Well, as make a long story short, he gave me the phone number. I talked to the ball player, calmed him down. My secretary got help on its way. We eventually got the individual professional help, and he became an ordained minister today, working with children in trouble. And I'm not telling anything out of school because he's had many stories written about it, mentioning what I did. But we're talking about Bernie Carbo, the star of the World Series and the star of the Boston Red Sox at the time. Well, he was the one who was having a difficult time in the middle of trying to commit suicide.
Wow.
And which we got professional help. Then 6 months later, another player who had just been told he had terminal cancer, he was on the balcony of a hotel in Las Vegas, was getting ready to jump. He called his wife and his wife to say goodbye, and his wife called baseball. Baseball called me, and she handed him the phone, and I was on the other end, and I was able to talk to him, calm him down, stabilize him, and we got him the proper help with the cancer. And he lived for an additional 7 years, being at peace and being happy with his family. And so from that point on, baseball said, Sam, you got to work for us. You can't work for just one team. So to make a long story short, I became the medical director for the program. It's called BAT.
What a great story. Unbelievable, and you tell it so well. And we understand now the rise, this great high school pitcher, great pitcher in the American League, the fall with the addiction, depression, and drinking, and the comeback to be the star of these programs and to put it together. Wow, what a life. Sam, it's a pleasure having you on with us, and this is all in the 60s, and I remember so well when you broke into Major League Baseball, and I commend you for everything you've done. You're a very special man, and I appreciate you being on the show today. Thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. And by the way, we made some wonderful friends in the Bay Area. That's a super city.
Well, it certainly is, and I'm glad that you could be here. It didn't work out, but you have fond memories of it. So enjoy the day and be well, and we'll catch up again. Thank you, Sam.
You're quite welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. The book, The Saga of Sudden Sam, The Rise, Fall, and Redemption. What a story. My goodness. All right. More coming up. KMBR 680-1045, the sports leader.